Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
So we've had a major winter storm across most of the country here this past weekend. And like all school children, and many adults too, hoping that the storm was enough to maybe miss school or miss work. And at home here, we have our youngest is in a junior in college, and she was hoping that her classes for Monday would be canceled because of the weather and the extreme cold. And they were. She told us that she was getting ready because she wanted to finish reading up on a story by Edgar Allan Poe called The Cask of Amontillado. Probably butchered the name of that. Famous story. Can't say it very well, but a famous story that we probably, most of us have read in our college or high school days. Well, it got me thinking about a recent conversation I had with Timothy P. Brown about some relatives of Edgar Allan Poe, that very poet that wrote the cask, of the word I can't pronounce. And he's up right now to tell us about this famous family at Princeton.
Check it out, Pigskin Dispatch video.
Yeah, woohoo!
Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us today to tell us about this famous family in Princeton football. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Good to see you again. And I want you to name my favorite Linda Ronstadt song. It's related to this tidbit.
I'm drawing a blank on Linda Ronstadt songs right at the moment.
It'd be pitiful me.
Okay. Yeah, I think pitiful is the key word in that statement.
Yeah,
very befitting.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize to anybody listening out there.
All right. Well, Tim is pitifully segueing into his story today that he wants to talk about, and it's titled Veterans Day and Johnny Poe. What can you tell us about this, Tim?
Yeah. So, Johnny Poe was the third of six brothers who played for Princeton in the 1882 to 1901 timeframe. And all of them were the second cousin twice removed from Edgar Allan Poe, or of Edgar Allan Poe, the poet and the guy for whom the Baltimore Ravens, are effectively named after, because he wrote the...
For Whom the Bell Tolled.
No, that was Hemingway.
Oh okay.
And World War One, and anyway.
Sorry.
So, or maybe it was the Spanish Civil War, one of the two. Anyways, so the Poes were, came from a, somewhat prominent, well-to-do family. A couple of the brothers ended up being like district attorney for the state of Maryland, or, they became business figures, etc. Johnny went marched to the beat of a different drummer. So his older brother, Samuel and Edgar Allan Poe, preceded him. Then Nielsen, Ernett, Arthur, and Gresham were the remaining brothers. But so Johnny shows up at Princeton and played in the seasons of 81 and 82, and was the second or third top scorer for the team, those years. So obviously, spent a lot of time on the field, was a prominent player, but he apparently wasn't much of a student. So he dropped out of school shortly after his sophomore season and never returned. Now, he returned to as guys did back then, return to coach in the fall. They'd kind of show up and hang out for a couple of weeks and coach and whatever. But he also, when he first left school, he coached for 2 years. He was a head coach at Virginia, and then he was the coach at Navy for a year. But he wasn't looking for that, the kind of, business sort of life, and I can't explain why. I don't, wasn't able to really get into that. But so instead, what he ended up doing, like for him, he ends up like doing stuff like going out and, mining in New Mexico, and he'd, work as a cowboy, or, he did all kinds of like kind of rough and tumble kind of lifestyle things. I think he was in the Yukon, mining for a while. But then, he kind of found his calling, I guess. It started South or Spanish American War. He enlists in the Maryland militia, thinking he's going to go see action, and then they never end up leaving Florida, so he never saw action. So then he joins the army because then we're fighting some rebels or whatever in the Philippines. He goes there, still no action. He was some kind of adjutant to some general. Then he joins the Marines because they're fighting in the Panamanian Revolution. Still no action. Then he joins the Honduran army and he finally sees action. So he's like, now he's a happy boy. So then he's doing, whatever, living life. And then World War I starts. So then the guy joins the British Army. And he's like an artilleryman. So he's back further behind the line. He's not seeing direct action. He's like, I need to go see, I want to be in the middle of it. So he joins the Black Watch, which is, famous Scottish Highlander, regiment or, grouping within the British Army. And he's with them and, during a particular battle in near Ypres, famous World War I site in, Flanders, he's ends up being killed in action, and he was shot in the stomach and died. And then just the nature of the conflict, they couldn't find his body afterwards, so he's still out there somewhere. But he's just kind of a guy who it's funny because on the one hand he ran so counter to what most people in his situation did. So I mean, it wasn't unusual for people to join the military, but they just, if you were a Princeton guy, you didn't join as a private. You didn't join the Honduran army. And if you went to Britain, a lot of those guys did were like medical or ambulance corps or something like that. So anyways, obviously he was a different kind of fella. And but when he was killed, and this is before the US joined in, entered World War I, they decided to name their Princeton's top football player award after him. So it's the John Poe, it was the John Poe Award or whatever. And then later, after Dick Kazmaier won the Heisman, they've made it the Poe Kazmaier Award. So his name's still out there. Whoever the best football player is for Princeton each year, still gets an award named in Johnny Poe's honor. Just kind of a obviously this was a story for that I published on Veterans Day. So it's a he had an unusual life, and so it results in an unusual story. And especially as a member of, such a prominent family as the Poes.
Yeah, I mean, what a great honor to, 125 some years after you play for a team, you're still remembered on a team with a memorial award. That's pretty cool. And I mean, to sit there and fight for the armies of what I think you mentioned three different countries and different continents and different oceans, everything that he's fighting it just or trying to fight. Just what a testament to a truly brave person. That's a remarkable.
I mean, I guess you could use some other adjectives as well, just depending on your perspective, whether he's brave or just nuts or, whatever. But, obviously he was, I mean, people, it wasn't like he was some kind of lunatic, right? I mean, people respected him. And he, like I said, he'd come back and coach, and the story of him being on the practice field at Princeton one day, and the guy who was the president of Princeton at the time was this guy named Woodrow Wilson. He comes out on the practice field because he'd had a football background, and he spent like an hour talking to Johnny Poe. So he was obviously, still a respected individual, and kind of there's this romantic side to him, but not a life that I led, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's you. I'm glad that you talk about people like this and you preserve the history of, different players as well as, the equipment and the game itself. But you do this a lot in your tidbits, and there's, preserving the history of these people is a great testament to you and to them. Maybe you could tell us how we can join in and read some of these.
Yeah, just go out to footballarchaeology.com and just Google it. You'll find my site. You can subscribe or you can follow me on Substack, whichever works for you. You can also just look me up on Amazon, if you're interested in one of my books. And if you just put in football archaeology to Amazon, you'll find me that way too. So, because two of my two latest books are part of the football archaeology series, so the name pops up.
All right. Well, Tim, we sure appreciate you joining us today, and we'd love to talk to you again next week about some more great football history.
Very good. Look forward to it. Thank you.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.